podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Thank you to our sponsors, the Wall Street Memes Casino, with over 5,000 custom games to choose from. Enjoy live dealers and in-play sports betting, from football to esports. Get a 200% sign-up bonus on your initial deposit up to $25,000. Use code IFLTV24. Deposit now by visiting Wall Street Memes Casino today. 18 plus only. Please gamble responsibly.
This is Coogan Cassius for IFL TV. Today, mate.
No. But like...
No.
I can't just do an interview at the drop of that. Like, things have changed, mate. You know, it used to be like, Ed, can we do something? Whatever I was doing, I would just drop and do an interview. But things have moved on. You know, the business has expanded. Life has changed. It's not just, Ed, can we do a bit in half an hour or in an hour or so? But and then you send me a voice note going, oh, mate, yeah, what I'm doing is I'm going out for a bite to eat at 4, and then I'll be back for like half an hour at 6:30. Can we do something then? No.
Mate,
do you know normal people have to go through about 9 people just to speak to me? And you think you can just send me a WhatsApp with a specific time slot to do an interview? And then like, then I thought what I'll do is I'll just do it tomorrow. And then you're like, mate, what is going on, mate? Mate, what is going on? And I'm like,
fuck. I'm not going to into this, yeah? But somebody on your team, IFL, a time of 4:30 today. And I was going to the football and I just sent you a text message. Well, can we do it at 4 o'clock? If not, Colin will do it. That's what
4 o'clock, 4 o'clock your time.
Yep.
Well, that's 8 a.m. in Vegas.
Yeah.
And considering I've only just got here.
I've got receipts. I'm not going to drop him in it or her.
I don't know who my team, I mean, you know, I've got gym sessions to do, to be honest with you.
Anyway. Enough of all that bollocks. How are you, mate?
I'm good, mate. I'm good. A little bit of travelling around last few days here and there in Vegas. Looking forward to a really good show. I've got to say, the Fontainebleau, what a gaff.
Yeah.
What a place. Not just saying it because, obviously, we are staging their first ever boxing and live sporting event here. Yeah. The best hotel I've stayed at in Vegas by a mile.
Really?
By a mile, yeah. The facilities, the gym, the restaurants. Obviously, it's brand spanking new. The venue here, you know, we had the show at the Cosmo recently with Conor Benn. Similar kind of venue here, like 3,500, beautiful setup, and looking forward to a really good card. But a lot of big fights for a lot of our stars coming through on Saturday night in Vegas.
Richardson Hitchens taking on Gustavo Daniel Lemos. Did I pronounce his name right?
Very good, very good. Yeah, two undefeated fighters. Hitchens is like, look, our 140-pound division is so strong at Matrim, and he thinks he beats them all. This is a final eliminator for Subriel Matisse. Obviously, Richardson's right up there with the WBC as well. Lemos is, what, 29-0? Most people know him for beating Lee Selby a while back, but never really boxed at the level of Hitchens. But he's, you know, mandated to have this final eliminator. It's going to be a tough fight. Diego Pacheco, who I think is the future of 168 pounds, going for his 10th knockout in a row. He's got a good fight as well. Galaulia Fire's got a big step up. I just did the face-off downstairs with him. Mark Castro, first title. Sky Nicholson going for a world title in a great fight as well. It's a really good card. I've pushed for 5 TV fights on the main card before the bell action. So this is like a big night for a lot of our fighters that who in the next 12 months you're going to see headlining in major fights, but they have to keep winning.
Yeah. You mentioned Sky Nicholson, and they're going for the vacant WBC featherweight title against Sarah Mahfood.
Good fight. Like, you know, Sky wanted to fight Amanda Serrano, and I think a lot of people thought that fight was too early for her. She didn't. Serrano decided to vacate the belt when Sky was mandatory. You know, I understand she's looking for those big fights, but this is the kind of fight that will make Serrano against Nicholson a big fight in the next, you know, 3, 6, 9 months. And Mahfood is the second best in the division, basically, after after Serrano on paper. She took rounds off Amanda Serrano. I think it was 97, 93 when they fought. She came in at short notice. It's a really tough fight. I think it's a 50-50 fight. But, you know, Sky has a chance to really build herself as a star with this win and get that WBC title. I missed a bit of a nightmare weekend for Australian boxing, to be honest with you, last weekend. I mean, it is flying, Australian boxing. But obviously, you had Tim Zhu, Michael Zarafa, Liam Wilson, all got beat last weekend in America. So she's looking to bounce back and get the win. And, you know, there's a lot of fighters. That's obviously for a world title fight. Galau Yafai, I just said to him downstairs, you win this fight, within one or two fights, I want you fighting for the world title. I said in an interview yesterday, I really like the Galau Yafai Sonny Edwards fight. I think it's a tremendous fight for British boxing. Hitchens in line for a world title, Pacheco. Yeah, good card on Saturday night. A little bit of a sleeper.
Yeah, what's the timings for Ed on Saturday?
So we're going to be live at around the before the bell action. We'll be starting around midnight, just after UK time, with the main card starting around 2 a.m. Something like that, yeah. So I'll post all the timings across my social. Main event around 4 a.m. I think main card around 1 a.m. actually. And like I said, five fights, Castro, Nicholson, Yafai, Pacheco, Hitchens. Five TV fights.
Bosh. Right. Let's do this in order now. So let's go back to just Saturday, obviously, just before the Fabio Wardley and Fraser Clark fight.
Sunday.
Bank holiday Sunday. Apologies. Just your thoughts on when you saw Adam Azim get in the ring with Harlem Eubank. Now, this is before, obviously, the news about Adam Azim vacating the EBU title. But what was you thinking when you saw Azim and Harlem Eubank in the ring?
Nothing, really. I mean, look, to be honest, like, we gave up on that fight a long time ago. I mean, Ben Shalom text Frank Smith, I don't know, 2 months ago, 6 weeks ago, and said, we're not fighting Dalton Smith. But they never vacated the position. And that was the frustrating thing, the annoying thing, because we knew they were never going to fight Dalton. And obviously the performance against Zepeda made them shit themselves even more. So I think it was more just a frustration for us. You've got to, you know, look, we're all in the sugarcoating game, aren't we, in the promotional business. We're all trying to spin a story or tell you, you know, and that was just, I don't know, desperation, but you're sort of getting two blokes in a ring. I mean, apparently Harlem Eubank was called, you know, pretty much like on the day and said, like, get yourself to London. It didn't even really know what was going on. But you got to, I don't mind the move. It was just, they should have done it 3 months ago, really, because it just got a bit embarrassing. The other problem is they haven't actually got a signed contract with Harlem Eubank. And if I'm Harlem Eubank, I'm pulling their pants down and I'm making sure they pay me absolute top dollar. And Chris Eubank Sr. will do it because he knows what he's doing. He knows now that if they don't deliver the Harlem Eubank fight, they're going to look so stupid because it's not signed. So, yeah, I don't mind it. You know, I mean, it just depends. I'm just about elite fighters and elite fights. And that is a decent little sort of English, British level title fight. I don't hate the fight. It's just when you're talking about Dalton Smith and you're talking about Keyshawn Davis and you're talking about this and that, it just bites you in the arse a little bit when you basically know you can't beat those guys. So life and sport is about levels, and you got Dalton Smith, who's world-class, and Adam Azim, who's British title level. But it's not to say he's not going to go on. He's a talented young fighter. But sometimes it can bite you in the arse because now you've got to negotiate the Harlem Eubank fight. And it's going to be expensive.
Are you convinced that Dalton Smith would beat a Harlem Eubank right now? Yeah? What?
Oh, was that a serious question? Yeah.
I don't mind that fight with Harlem Eubank.
No, I don't. Listen, if they would have done that, if they would have come out 2 or 3 months ago and gone, look, we're not ready for Dalton Smith, we're going to fight Harlem Eubank, I think it's okay. But when you're banging a drum about this guy is this and that, and you've got to understand, Adam Azim's only 21 and Dalton Smith's 27. But Harlem Eubank's 30. I don't understand what that's got to do with it, you know. But as you saw, you know, they're selling the fight on Barry McGuigan, Chris Eubank, and it's got all those kind of narratives as well. I don't think it's a terrible fight. It's just that you can't say you're this and that and not fight at that level. But yeah, it's all right. I mean, I just think they played it badly. And it will just, you know, Adam Azim will just get a load of stick. But life moves on. And unfortunately, that's what will probably be the fifth fight that's been ordered between Boxer and Matchroom that on five occasions, they've pulled their fighter out of the fight. So I just don't like the victim, you know, we're just trying here. The whole world's against us here. Like, no, it's not. We're trying to make the fights with you. We've had five fights ordered and you won't make one of them. So, yeah. Is what it is, really. We're going to move on. World level fights for Dalton. And we wish him all the best.
Do you see yourself in the immediate future kind of working that out to be able to work with Boxer and Ben Shalom?
Yeah, look. Yeah, you know, I saw, he says he's never spoken to me. I don't really need to speak to him. Frank Smith handles a lot of the business for us. And he speaks to Ben all the time. You know, they've got open communication. But I just told you there, five times fights, big fights have been ordered. And they've pulled their fighter out every single time. The one that's coming is Isaac Chamberlain against Chef Clark, the latest, you know. But they don't want to acknowledge these fights. And you know, I find it interesting, the interviews where it's like, oh, you know, we're just trying to make our way in the sport. And, you know, everyone's against us. They're not against us at all. I've told them all the time, we'll do the fight. Take the fight. Make us an offer to do the fight. You know, Caroline Dubois against Beatrice Ferreira, one of the best fights in the sport. We'll do it on Sky. And then you have Shane McGuigan saying, yeah, but the problem is, if it's on Sky, Eddie needs to promote it as well. I'm like, bloody hell. So you want me to leave my network and go to your network and promote it? You know, I mean, can't do everything. But you saw the success of a good fight. That's the frustrating thing. Like, Dalton Smith against Adam Azim is a really big fight. And you saw, you had a really good domestic fight on Sunday, Fabio against Brazier, and they work. So, you know, these are the fights that we want to try and make. And, you know, I saw a lot of comments about, I said, look, us working with Queensbury now is probably the most positive thing to happen in boxing. It's like, oh yeah, well, money's brought you guys together. No, someone giving us a clip round the ear hole and saying, what are you two doing, has really done that. And yes, there's a lot of money involved for our fighters. But now we're doing it, we are all saying to ourselves, this is great. And, you know, there'll be a big fight announced soon between Queensbury and Matchroom, actually, that we concluded a deal a week ago or so ago. Nothing to do with a 5v5. Nothing to do with Saudi Arabia. We are talking all the time. I made George Warren an offer today for another fight, you know, a British championship fight. And you're seeing now, you're going to see, we're even talking about how potentially prospects that we have could go on each other's shows in specific towns or cities that would make sense to, rather than boxing them a million miles away from their town. Do you understand what I'm saying? So it's actually really going to help. And it surprised me a lot, but we'll see. But I think boxing's in a really good place, to be honest with you.
I agree. What did you make of the Fabio and Fraser Clark draw?
I was away and I only caught probably from round seven. So I missed the knockdown and I missed the point deduction. And I thought it was a really good, you know, Lonsdale belt scrap, which a lot of them are. Both out on their feet, both completely gassed up. Well, pretty much from when I turned the fight on, 8-9 rounds. It's difficult for me to say who I thought won because I only watched half the fight. I think the part of the fight that I watched, Joyce did the better work. Sorry, Fraser did the better work, but Fabio knocked him down and he had the point deducted. So, you know, sounds like no one really argued with a draw. And I think I phoned Johnny Fisher after and I said, mate, we've got to get you in these fights. Because I would fancy Johnny Fisher against those boys as well. And I want to get him in that domestic mix. And fair play to Fabio, fair play to Fraser. You know, both showed a hell of a lot of heart. You don't want too many fights like that. You know, that nose of Fabio's causes him some problems in the last few fights. And there was a few times during the 11th and the 12th round where I saw him look to the canvas and look away. And I thought it was a look of someone that thought, fuck this for a game of soldiers. But he dug in and he showed plenty of bottle and fair play to him. So, but he said himself in the interview after, I don't want too many fights like that because you're going to have a short career. But we've got to give them massive respect because both show great hearts.
Boxer released some viewing figures. Did you see that?
Yeah.
What did you make of them?
Yeah, positive. What was it, 700,000?
Peak audience of 746,
yeah.
Average of 438, and a reach of 1.7.
Yeah, forget the reach, but the average 400 and the peak 700. I mean, they're really pushing it hard across so many channels now. So what was it? It was on Main Event. I think it was on Action. It was on Mix. It was on some other free. It's free, completely free to watch now. So, but great. I think they should do that. I think it's great for boxing. The more channels they put it on, doesn't matter if the audience is cumulative across those four or five channels, it's still great numbers. And I thought Sunday, you know, Sunday boxing, I've always liked the concept of Sunday boxing. I think when it's a bank holiday, it works well. Remember when we done Bellevue on the bank holiday in Liverpool? I thought it worked really well. So, yeah, I thought it was a good spectacle.
Savage Dan from Sky Sports put a tweet out earlier saying that 4 of the 5 viewing figures on Sky Sports in the last 10 years, like highest ones, have been boxer shows.
Well, that's incorrect.
Okay. He says He says that Eubank Williams won, 2 was Shields Marshall, 3 was Khan Vargas, which was your show, 4 Taylor Cattrall, 5 Wardley Clark. This is from Savage Dan. Is that inaccurate?
Yeah, I mean, well, are you not including any Anthony Joshua fights in that?
Well, these are all regular.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. What's the numbers for the last few?
It doesn't say the numbers. It just says, it just put a tweet out saying four of the top 5.
Yeah, I mean, when we were at Sky, they were only putting it on one channel rather than 4. So it's difficult to compare. But I don't know. I think Froch Butte did about 700,000 back then. I don't know. I mean, listen, I've probably done about 4 fights with AJ that have done well over 1 million. And that's with people paying $25.99 for the pleasure. So, yeah, but it's not. For me, I think it's great. We need people watching boxing. So I know there's always, you got no beef anymore between me and Frank. So it's like, but I don't, honestly, I have no beef with Sky. I think it's important that we, that's about my appointment. I got a 5 o'clock appointment with an IV drip. 1 second.
Huh?
Hold on. Hello. Yes, hi. I'm just running about 10 minutes late, if that's okay. I'm on my way down now. All right. Thank you. Cheers, bye.
Yeah.
I'm having an IV drip.
For what reason?
Hydration, vitamin C, zinc, something else.
Did you get on the
set? In the Fontainebleau, they have a facility called the IV drip something. And I booked in for a little go. Oh. Keep me going.
God, you're just a machine.
So, yeah. So it's like, honestly, I'm really hope Sky stay in boxing because they're great for boxing.
Absolutely. Eddie, can you give us an update on what's going on with Anthony Joshua? We see he's in the gym. What is happening? What's the talks regarding his next move?
So I think you'll see him again back end of the summer. He's keen to fight again ASAP.
Well, August?
Sorry?
August?
Possibly. Obviously, you got Fury Usyk on May the 18th. Very keen to see what happens there. And then you've got the IBF situation with Filip Hrgović, and you know, we'll see what happens if he fights in the interim. But I would say Anthony Joshua's next fight will either be for the World Heavyweight Championship or for the Undisputed World Heavyweight Championship.
Okay, so it's obviously dependent on that IBF situation after
Fury. Yeah, the winner of Fury Usyk has to fight Hrgović, no exceptions. So we know that if there is two fights, which we understand there is, then the IBF will become vacant. Now, whether that comes in the meantime and Hrgović fights someone else first, or if he fights AJ, but AJ's next fight will be for the World Heavyweight Championship. Or maybe even for the Undisputed, we'll see. But we understand they have two fights, obviously.
What about the speculation around Hrgović and Dubois?
We have two heavyweight fights in the 5v5. So Hrgović Dubois is not, these fights are not made. We have to put forward our best heavyweights. We work with Hrgović, and there's other heavyweights we work with as well. So I'm seeing Keith Connolly out here, who obviously represents Filip Hrgović. Hrgović is definitely someone we would like on our team for June 1st, but we'll have to see.
Is Joshua like staying ready in case there's a situation on May the 18th?
He's always ready.
By the way,
he's always ready. I mean, he's not down the gym right now going, "Oh, I wonder if I'll get the call. I hope I get the call." We don't work off short notice around here, but we fucking stay ready. Do you understand me? And AJ is the most consistent performer I've ever seen in the sport. He could fight next Saturday. Like, his dedication to the sport, his professionalism, unbelievable. And as I said, we stay ready round here. You get me?
Yes, bruv. The press conference on April the 15th.
You're getting excited. It's going to blow your mind.
What will we learn on that day?
You're going to learn all of the matchups for the Matchroom v Queensbury 5v5.
Okay. All will be revealed on the 15th.
Correct. Everything. This show on June 1st is going to be absolutely massive.
I think it is. I can't imagine.
You've got, on May the 18th in Saudi Arabia, on May the 18th in Saudi Arabia, you've got the Undisputed World Heavyweight Championship between Tyson Fury and Alexander Usyk. You've got Opetar against Brugis rematch, which is a fantastic fight. You've got Cordina against Kakachi, all British World Championship fight. Right? You've got 2 weeks later, you've got Bivol Beterbiev for Undisputed. And you've got the 5v5 on the... I mean, mate, that is 2 weeks of just some of the greatest boxing you've ever seen in the history of the sport. And you can watch it all live on DAZN.
And the other platforms.
Well, but rather watch it on the home of boxing.
Okay, Eddie, moving on from that, I know you're kind of a little bit pressed for time, but I know this is obviously from a week ago, but the news about, obviously, Conor Benn losing the appeal to the board in the UCAD, what comment can you make on that, Eddie?
Just that it's, and it's not my, at my request, it is bound by confidentiality. That's why you've seen no comment from Conor Benn, no comment from the British Boxing Board of Control, no comment from UCAD, and I guess together, they will make a statement at some point. Until then, I can't really say anything. I haven't really got anything to say. That's it.
Does this hinder Conor Benn's next fight?
Does it hinder? I mean, obviously, there was nothing set. There's a lot of conversations ongoing. And when the time is appropriate, there will be news and a statement And until then, I can't really tell you anything.
It's the most dragged out process I've ever seen. I know.
Well, it's been nearly 2 years. We're about a month, 2 months away from 2 years. So it's extremely frustrating. But we are where we are. And we're in it now. So what can you do?
Okay. Will you be tuning into Jake Paul and Mike Tyson's exhibition?
Who knows? I mean, there'll be a lot of people watching. We'll see if I'm one of them.
Why are you?
I'm sure they're not bothered if I'm tuning in or not.
It surprised me you're not involved somewhere in the promotion of it. How's everything looking for Haney Garcia, Eddie?
Good. I mean, we've got, obviously, this week we're in Las Vegas. Next week, we've got brilliant fight in Manchester, Jordan Gill against Zelfa Barrett. And we're straight back out to New York for Haney Garcia. And we're back in Liverpool for the next gen. Haney Garcia, you know, I think there was a lot of people thinking, and probably I was included, will Ryan Garcia make it to the ring? And now with just under 3 weeks to go, the answer is yeah, absolutely. And it's 2 weeks to go, actually, on Saturday. Quite remarkably. I can't believe how quickly it's come around. And I think it's going to be a massive fight. I think it's going to be a huge night. And I expect Devin Haney to win this fight comfortably and make a real statement.
And that fight will be on the Zone pay-per-view in the UK, priced at $19.99.
Correct.
Bargain.
It's a great fight.
It is a great fight, to be honest. Take my £20, 100%. So what's your plan today, apart from getting your IV drip?
So I've got an IV drip. Then I'm going to the gym with Frank Smith.
Yeah.
Then we're going to go to the little bit of recovery at the hotel spa. I'm on a big diet at the moment. I put a bit of weight on, I can't lie, and I'm trying to get back on track. Then we've got the press conference tomorrow. The weigh-in on, I'm going to go and see Devin Haney tomorrow. Workout, meetings tomorrow. Friday weigh-in, Saturday the big night. Tune in to the Zone. And if you're in Las Vegas, make your way to, down to the Fontainebleau. As I said, stunning hotel, great resort, great arena. And great night on Saturday.
Okay, Edward, thank you very much for your time at 1:15 in the morning.
Well done. I know it's late for you, boy.
Late for me, mate. I'm just getting into bed, mate.
I mean, a little bit concerning in your Versace robe. Do you know what I mean? With a...
What?
Almost seductive.
It's 1:15 in the morning. This is, I'm at home. This is our role. It's our role. Eddie, listen, best of luck with your show. We'll catch
Cheers,
up
mate.
In Manchester.
We'll do one before Saturday. Colm, I'll do something with Colm tomorrow or after the before the weigh-in.
Eddie Hearn, thank you very much.
All right. Speak to you later.
Speak to you soon, mate.
Cheers, mate. Bye.
Thank you to our sponsors, the Wall Street Memes Casino, with over 5,000 custom games to choose from. Enjoy live dealers and in-play sports betting. From football to esports. Get a 200% sign-up bonus on your initial deposit up to $25,000. Use code IFLTV24. Deposit now by visiting Wall Street Memes Casino today. 18 plus only. Please gamble responsibly.
Sports Social Podcast Network.